Do you have any thoughts about doing that this year or doing it in January or?
I could do it now. After we get done with cheese plant, I've got a realignment project at Thunder Road. I got a grant for, and it's going to be an arch pipe and realignment to help with the corner down there and help with the high water. And after that one, I've only got about three bridges that need to be put in that I'm aware of.
Sounds like they're in really good shape then.
Oh, yeah, we're getting them all put in.
No need for a detail over your list and details. You know them pretty well.
We got a good inspection report this year on all of them. Got to keep up the maintenance on them. Steely Road, we've already got the right of way and plans. Randy had done before years ago, and that'll be a in-house project that we'll build. And then Pro Tem Cedar Creek Road, the one bridge I need to do a realignment. You know, it's an old structure that has for alignment. And then the one Cane Creek, there where Steve used to live. That's got to be replaced. But other than that, we're getting there. And I've got permits, applications turned into the Corps for Graham Clark Road, Happy Hollow, and Clevenger Cove to raise that area where those people won't be trapped. You know, when you're talking with 300 to 800 people, you know, that get trapped. And that's been over a year ago. I turned the permit in for it. And I've met all the criteria. I'm just waiting on the final approval.
It's kind of been a long standing one, hasn't it? I thought we mentioned that many times.
There's no hurry when we get involved in the court. In the high water update, I met with Billy Long here about a year and a half ago. Him and his crew, and took them around to all the areas, like the ones I told you about, plus you know, down the Turkey Creek area, shows the impact, and how the boat dock owners, you know, like K-Dock Marina, Beaver Creek Marina, Tucker Hall, how those people barely get by due to the high water all the time. And the campground down below here never gets used because it's underwater. Anyway, about a year and a half later, got a letter from the Corps stating that they were going to increase water flow and help cut back on the flooding. They're going to, during the winter time, drop the lake lower to be prepared for the spring rains like they used to be. So far, they proved that point. They're dropping it. I hope they stick with it. We don't have that many campgrounds that aren't underwater. Or roads. I mean, the one year we had 19 roads underwater.
Seems like that's been in every other year for the past decade where we've had substantial rains and everything being flooded and closing roads.
Well, if you go to the Corps website, they show the last 4 or 5 years of water levels in different colors on top of each other. There is, most lately, it goes under pre-April and doesn't come out until October. So the entire whole recreational season of camping, fishing, picnicking, lake use is wasted. You're looking down at the streetlights when you go by. And I'm surprised people don't get hurt more driving through all the flooded stuff. And then when they start lowering it down, then you've got the picnic table shelters and all the other stuff that's at different sites. Not to mention the commercial stuff where all of them are hanging on by a cable because they're flooded way beyond their capabilities. That's bad. And I get the for those of you that don't go through this too much, Table Rock's basin can hold all of Beaver Lake if it breaches. That's what it's designed for. So If Beaver Dam breaches, it can go to Table Rock and it can hold it. Bull Shoals can hold both Beaver and Table Rock if they breach, and they, it can still hold it. But when it gets big like this, if you go down to Diamond City, Lead Hill, they have earthquakes. The lake gets so heavy in this kind of water, they have earthquakes.
Because it's moving the land.
It's moving the land. And the Corps can't keep doing that kind of stuff. And I get the rice farms and all of that stuff, but I can't help.
Well, that was another deal in the high water letter. They're going to be able to get crop insurance.
Yeah.
Now.
So that would solve a lot of that. Because in 1955, when all this was going on, all there was the rice farmers. So they would have a voice. But things have changed. And we need to have a little bit of relief here.
And the other thing, we're not trying to get too far off topic, but that would help Hollister and Ransom, Danny Coleman. I mention it every meeting I go to with Corps to dredge it. Supposedly, that's in the process right now. I don't know how far or what, but if they could get the channel cleaned back out and the splashing up on the road, that's going to help that issue.
Also, too, when we're in the bridge discussion, isn't the Caney County part of it. Remember, Long Creek Bridge is coming up this year, this next year. So that's going to be a huge, huge project, just much like the Bull Shoals Bridge was. So.
And it will include a sidewalk. $2 million.
Will there be time that it'll actually be closed?
Well,
a lane
switchover, maybe like 7 hours.
About like the bridge here. Yeah.
Alignment of, is it Beaver Creek Bridge? Which one are they doing? MoDOT?
Oh, yeah. They're going to, last I heard from them, upstream from the old one. And that way they don't have to close the bridge and impact hundreds of people.
Which, and that's where... That's where
we're originally going.
Yeah, Don actually dug out some pictures.
Well, you can actually see the old concrete now.
Yeah, Don had pictures there where when they were building another one, but it was basically they'll go back to where it used to be.
Our geographic location and topography doesn't allow you to say we're going to close this bridge and you can just drive around. Because driving around for many of these families, the school buses and everything else, means hours, not a few minutes. And go over to the next city block and cut through. That isn't this. And so when they came along, MoDOT's done pretty well on avoiding total bridge closures. But they came along with the plan for that one and said it's going to be closed for 15 months. Well, that's a non-starter.
Yeah, that's it.
That's
right,
what it used to look like.
And every bit of that from the bridge to where it's firecracker goes is now that's all filled up, hauled in. You know, that was all the bottom field. They built that whole unbelievable how much fill was there. No parents with the 3 hour, 45 minute bus ride in.
Words.
And there was that no parents very happy about it.
The tall one is what we got now.
The tall one is what we got now.
Yeah, and that other one is where it used to be.
That makes it nice that we can move it over here and 50 years later,
the lower level was actually pre-lake.
Because
the lake was
a heritage picture.
Yeah, because this side is where the town was.
Yeah. You know,
when they moved Kazee Mills with the lake going in, that's when they built that bridge and the Corn Creek Bridge. All that is we're fixing to go up a little bit.
That's a pretty dramatic photo there.
Yeah.
And it's hard to believe that big bridge is still too low.
Right.
To
Right.
I think so. I was taking them off. I had pictures of last summer. My son standing on the deck of the boat, reaching up, grabbing a hole, and pulling himself up on the bottom of that bridge. Yeah. You know, you look at, you know, sitting there in water, it was, you know, there's just, well, you couldn't go under it with your bimini top up.
What kind of parents let their kids hang on?
Hey, hopefully, Lord willing, and the poor support, he never gets a chance to do it again. All right.
But that other alignment's going to be much better. It's going to be able to keep the road open, and again, much like the bigger bridges, there'll just be a lane switchover at some particular point.
I'm not sure what it's going to do yet on the park right there. There's been talk that there may be a new entrance. We don't know that.
I guess that kind of lapped over into MoDOT stuff there,
yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, we'll take that. Any other MoDOT updates?
Only thing I've got is the sidewalk in Hollister. I think everybody through the interchange, they're coming along very well. I think the biggest thing that most everybody will know will be coming from Lowe's, from the north, to the Industrial Park Drive, to the interchange, has never been aligned correctly. Since the interchange was built, it couldn't go straight through to Menards without blocking the free right onto the interchange. They've widened that lane, they'll move the loops over, they'll put another signal head up, and we will have a straight through lane to Menards. We will have a two-car storage lane going in the industrial park, and then we'll have a free right onto the interchange when this is done. The lane is actually poured. Ewing Signal's working on the loops and the stop now, so that's all getting pretty close. I was concerned when I drive out there because the islands were flattened around all of the pedestrian ways and all of the signal lights and stuff. The islands were flattened and then they asphalted. And I thought, surely you're not going to be standing on a sidewalk with people running over your toes at the same level. And I look at the plans and it said 8-inch concrete curb. Well, they explained to me at Partners the other day that the footing for that old, those old islands were so bad, they took those out and re-asphalted them and are going to use pins, and they're pouring the concrete around them now. So they're going to look like asphalt or like concrete islands, like they're supposed to. So that's coming along. So anyway, that project, liquidated damages start on December 23rd, but I think they say they're going to be done in the next week or so. They took a week off last 2 weeks ago because they were so far ahead. I don't know I like that very well, but anyway, it doesn't matter.
It's deer season.
So, well, whatever. So, at any rate, that sidewalk project is coming along. Now, the other timing piece of that is from the interchange south down by Central Bank, Menards, that goes to five lanes in the near future. So, that's part of the water park improvements that's required. So now the lane alignments, the pedestrian, the signal heads, all that stuff is there so that when that goes south, won't be a problem. So that's good too, that this project got ahead of that project. I think that's the last MoDOT.
The deal on the fuel tax increase. Mm-hmm. I got an email the other day on the predictions, giving the formula. Looked like it'll increase around $105,000 next year for the county. I don't know what it would be for the city, but
that's just ours next year and Branson's next year. Ours is going to be like, for next year, it's going to be like $20,000, and you guys will be like $75,000 or $60,000.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. Eventually, you guys go to $800,000. We go to $150,000, and you guys get four something additional motor fuel tax.